All right. Well, I just wanted to share my testimony and then maybe a thought as well, if that's okay. Not too much time. Okay. I should check before, but thought I'd do it up here. All right. So, obviously, I was raised in a Christian home. So, some similarities between Sam and I. I grew up in the church, as most of us. I went to Sunday school, memorized scripture as a child, and so on. Similar to Sam, my first memory of a profession to Christ was about 3 or 4. We were at a meeting, I think it was like a bit of a conference, where we had a speaker who was invited, who happened to be an uncle of mine who lived in the States at the time. So he'd come over for a series of meetings with a Spanish church. So at 4, I walked down the front, but I think I was too young. I think it was more I followed my sister who did it at the same time, and she was obviously older than me, so she was had a bit more of an understanding of what was happening. It wasn't until I was 8 years old that we were at a church and we were attending another Spanish church in Ashfield. One Sunday night, the preacher had a gospel message, and that's when I had a better understanding of my sin and my position before God and hell. And so I accepted Christ during that Sunday night at that church in Ashfield. Fast forward through to my teenage years from then, and my spiritual growth was pretty limited at that time, up until my teenage years. I believe I was saved. I had a fear of God. I understood my position before Him, but I managed it. I managed my fear. I managed my the convicting work of the Holy Spirit during that time. In my early teenage years, I made some silly decisions that led my parents to eventually decide that it was time to remove me from my surroundings, particularly school, which led me and my family to Southern Cross at that time. And I think there's a couple instances in my testimony that I really feel that was the Lord leading me, I guess eventually, and also my family. And how we found the school and the church, I think, was one of them. During this time of my parents deciding that, okay, let's move Jeremy out of where he's from, there was an elderly couple that was actually door knocking in our area. They knocked on our door. My parents found out they were Christian. They invited him in for a chat. They had a chat, and somehow at some point the discussion turned to how they needed a school. They were looking for a school for me to attend. And so they gave my parents a publication. It was a magazine. I have no idea what it was called. It was a magazine. And the couple actually highlighted that there was a church down in Engadine, or there was a school in Engadine. So so they suggested to my parents. So after a phone call, a famous phone call where our surname was misunderstood, an interview I reluctantly started a few months later after that. So interestingly, we never saw that couple. I think we only ever saw them twice, and I can't remember if it was the first or the second time that we saw them that they gave us the magazine. I have a bad memory, but we never saw them after that. And so I think we've had discussions and we weren't sure who they were. So I think that was a clear indication for me of how the Lord kind of directed our family, and so the Lord definitely used those people. So then into my school years. My school years in general, I look back at, I guess, my teenage years, and I look back at those with a lot of regret. My spiritual walk was very up and down, but God used leaders at church and at school to speak to me, and the Holy Spirit did do a convicting work in my life in a lot of things. And I believe that the way I lived, I mean, I was very immature, and I'm sure most of you who saw me during my teenage years could confirm that. I was very mature, living for self, and that all really reflected in my indecision on you know, acting upon the convicting work of the Holy Spirit in my life at that time. So, you know, while I believe that this time, those teenage years really helped me lay the foundation for decisions that I would later make in life, I felt that I never really took full advantage of what God had given me at that time. I didn't act upon the convicting work of the Holy Spirit, and that's why I look at those years with a bit of regret because of how I acted and I guess that missed opportunity that I had there. During that time, so during the first year, I think it was, I was at school. We were still attending another Spanish church at Bexley. We were going to prayer meetings, we were going to Bible studies on Fridays, we were going to church on Sunday mornings, and then we would come to Engadine at Sunday nights. And this is another point where I really feel like the Lord was leading our family in that point. The Lord started to highlight things to my dad about compromises in the church that really made him feel, you know, uncomfortable about things. One of the main concerns, besides some of the teaching that they had there, was music. Now, my dad is not musically trained at all. You all know that. But he noticed those compromises in the church. And so God spoke to him, and eventually we decided to stop going to that church, and then we came to Southern Cross full time. And that really exposed me to some sound teaching and, again, helped me to, you know, build our foundation and build some convictions that would help me later on in life. And so 15 years later, I'm here, I'm married with two kids, which seems like a very long time ago that's happened. But, you know, it's obviously in my testimony that my parents played a large part in my life and the spiritual direction that it took. It was their faith in Christ and desire to live in a way that honoured him that brought me to this church and meant to eventually what I believe is God's will for my life right now. So, you know, considering that, now I realise that now the onus is on me. I'm kind of the next person now that I have a family. It's my duty to continue that. You know, we are quite blessed to have a church like we have, you know, where we receive sound teaching. We have leaders who love God, who stand for the truth. So we're quite lucky to have that considering the time that we live in. And over the last few weeks, I've had a number of discussions with a few different people about this topic, about how lucky we are to have a church. And at the conference with Matt Castilla, I had a conversation with someone who attended the same Spanish church that I did as a child, but they were a couple of generations older than me. And so we started to discuss generations of youth groups at each of these at these churches. And sadly, the discussion kind of really turned into his generation and where they were at, and then the next generation that was above me and where they were at, and then my generation, where I grew up with, where they were at and what they were doing today. And, you know, it all led to the same track. There were compromises. They're either not going to church anymore, they realised they weren't actually saved, or they were at a Hillsong or something like that. They were at some large church. And it was that kind of that same theme along all these discussions. And I've had a number of discussions this way. And at the conference, Pastor Castilla touched on 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, where it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from truth and shall be turned unto fables." And, you know, this has given me a real, I guess, I don't know, burden for, I guess, for where we are at. Because this perfectly explains these generations that I grew up with, within that church, you know, that had been, you know, that often begun to do things out of rebellion, and they believe they were sin when they did it, and then later on in their life they sought out teachings or teachers that agreed with their convictions. So I thought about this, about how important it is for the next generation to be standing firm, to be in the Word and to all those things. And then the next thought was, I'm 30. I'm that generation, right? I'm that person that needs to be standing in the truth. I need to be the person that is, you know, making sure that I'm doing my part, that me and, I guess, our church aren't turning to those fables. So I just wanted to have share a couple points to those who are of my generation that are here tonight. Those who are, and I'm not taking away anything from those who are older than me, but I guess my burden is for us who are, you know, 30, give or take a few years, and, you know, right down to Jaden and Isaiah and those guys. That's what my burden is tonight. So I wanted to take just a couple of things. Going back to that, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers with itching ears." They will not endure sound doctrine, but it will be their lust. Jesus, yeah. Excuse me. Their lust or strong desires will be what will draw their attention. You know, for, like I mentioned before, past generations, it's been their desire for the things of this world or the things that are in it that began out of rebellion and became part of their criteria when they're looking for a good church. You know, these generations would have known that the things that they desired were wrong. They would have known that. But as they continued on, and as we, you know, we saw with Sam, he continued on in those things, and then eventually he kind of convinced himself that that was a good church. These things that began out of rebellion then eventually became something that was a criteria for a good church. So it almost changed the way he thought. You know, and I think there are two things for our generation that are very big challenges for us. There's entertainment and then there's drinking. There are two things that are big for our generation. You know, we live, you know, these two topics are normally the two topics that you talk about on a Monday morning catch-up at work or at uni. They ask you, what did you do and did you get drunk? And I'm sure most of you can relate. If you work, you go to uni, you're in our generation, you can appreciate that. These are the two things that you get spoken of. So we live in an online world. We live in the golden age of Apple. We've got iPads, iPods, iTunes, iMovies, we've got Netflix, we've got YouTube, we've got social media. This has all come about in our generation. And it's easy to access, and it's what everyone is talking about. Music and entertainment can be our desire in our lives because it's so often the topic of conversation. So for people in our generation, we often feel that we need to be part of this conversation, and so we have a desire to be part of it. So the question is, you know, what are your desires? What are your desires? Are your desires the entertainment? Are your desires the music, to be part of this? Or is your desire the word? Is your desire to be closer to the Lord? What is your desire? When we read in that it's, we're not tempted by anything but our own lust that draw us away. Those are the things that are in our hearts that kind of pull us away. So my first challenge is, you know, what are those lusts? What are those strong desires that you have in your heart? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says that we are to keep our heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of it are the issues of life. Out of it, our hearts are the outflowings of life. Everything that's in our life comes from our heart. So what are those strong desires that you have in your life that could eventually draw you away? Secondly is, and I've only got 2 points, so secondly is actually lastly. My challenge for our generation is, let's not be a dormant generation. Let's not be a generation that does nothing. Let's not be a generation that is happy to do just enough or is happy to do nothing. Let's be a generation that will be doers. James chapter 1 verse 22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You know, it's not sufficient enough to be hearing the word of God week in and week out. You know, we're here, we're privileged to be listening to God's word every week. Let's not just be hearers of it, but let's be acting upon that. What must we do? Back in 2 Timothy, in verse 2, it says that we are to preach the word, be in instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. In verse 5, it says that we are to watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. Now, how encouraging is it to hear that Sam Crowe is testifying to people at work? Obviously, his desires have been, to reach those who are lost around him. I guess that's my burden for our generation here at Southern Cross, is that we aren't the generation that drops the ball. We are the generation that carries the flame and continues that on. You know, the scary thing is that we're not the last generation. There's another generation after us that will look to us for that teaching. You know, what are we going to be doing? How are they going to look up to us as that generation before them? Are we going to be the generation that made the compromises? Are we going to be the generation that did nothing and, let things into the church? Let's be the generation that moves forward. Let's be the generation that kind of is eager to see the church grow, that is eager to see, all these little boys running around. How good it would be to see all those little boys preaching one day. That's a burden and that I've had over the last few weeks, is to see all these little guys get up and preach the word one day a lot better than me, sharing a testimony a lot more structured and all those kind of things. That's the burden that we should have. That's the generation that we should have that will kind of carry us on into the next generation. So often generations have remained dormant. They've done nothing and nothing has resulted. Future generations have suffered for that. So my challenge to you is that we be a generation of doers and seekers of the word.